Time to talk some basketball. To do that, we welcome in John Corrales of Boston Sports Journal and the Locked On Celtics podcast. Hello there, John.
Hey, how's it going?
Throwing that Bill Withers your way, guaranteeing a good day.
Hey, it's the best intro music in town, man.
Well, we're ready for some basketball tomorrow night, but first, a rare practice. Practice? What's that all about?
This would have been Allen Iverson's favorite season, right?
Yeah.
The Celtics got on the practice floor, which is nice. Jason Tatum practiced. Kemba Walker practiced. Jaylen Brown did not, but he does not seem like it's that bad. He just has a sprained right ankle that was aggravated in that collision against the Blazers. But, you know, get some work in. Try to fine-tune whatever you can fine-tune in this crazy season and go out there and start this final stretch of seven games.
Well, last time out, a wild game with Portland. I thought they were both going to score about 150 for a while there in the first half. But I was impressed, and he's been playing much better lately. What's made the difference in the play of Aaron Nesmith?
You know, it's interesting. I think he's starting to put just a couple of things together. The game seems to be slowing down for him a little bit, so he's able to recognize things. I think at the beginning of the season, he was a little rushed. Even though he was still taking some, you know, his shot form hasn't changed necessarily, but the recognition of the defense, the recognition of where he should be, it's getting him a little bit better look, a couple of touches where he might not have gotten touches before. And when you see him take like little steps here and there, recognizing how the defense is playing him, that's a big step forward, whether he makes the shots or not. So I just think that, like any other rookie, and they develop at different times, he's starting to understand different things about the NBA game. So that's the biggest thing. And then from there, it's confidence, shooting with confidence, playing with confidence. It's understanding that his teammates have confidence in him. The team has been running some plays for him to get open shots, which is huge. And I think if there's anything that the Celtics can be commended for this season, it's keeping his confidence up in a year where it could be very easy to have lost Aaron Nesmith.
Evan Fournier back out of the concussion, the COVID protocol, had some nice shots in the game against the Trailblazers. What's his role going to be in postseason?
I mean, he's going to be asked to do a lot of everything. I mean, the Celtics are kind of thin in, you know, especially with these do-it-all guys. He's obviously a shooter. He's a scorer. He can score at all three levels. He can get to the rim. Obviously, he's going to hit the three. He can run a pick and roll. He can pass. He's going to do a lot of everything. So basically, the Celtics are just going to need him to plug and play and in the flow of the offense, making the right read, making the next right pass, as Brad likes to say, understanding how the defenses are playing him, making the right read there, and then deciding drive, shoot, pass, and being in the right spot to make sure that the other guys have their space as well. And obviously to be a switchable defender. I mean, he's got the next step for him is to pick up a lot more of the team defensive concepts so he doesn't have those miscommunications on the floor. Now, some of these miscommunications he's had recently could very easily be part of the whole COVID thing, which you had that slip called a concussion because he called it concussion like after the game against Portland. He feels like he's recovering from a concussion. So that's not great. If he can get past some of those kind of symptoms in the long haul COVID that he has, then he can maybe pick up some of those defensive concepts a little bit better and execute a little bit better on that end.
We're talking with John Corrales here on Downtown. We'll spend more time and look back on it, I'm sure, when the season's over, because it was quickly on to the next game. But man, that Jason Tatum 60-point performance was a thing of beauty. I remember watching Bird score 60. This was a different kind of game, but no less impressive.
Yeah, and you know, the best part about that 60 is that it came within the flow of things. It was part of just, like, he came out hot. He had 22 or something like that at halftime. Then he picked it up in the second half. It wasn't a, hey, let's feed this guy. It wasn't like he came out and wanted to check back in because he had 55. Let me go see if I can get five more points. It was, they needed every one of those points to put this game out of reach. And even so, when he had that free throw to get the 60. That was only still a 3-point lead, and it could have gone into double overtime against San Antonio, but they didn't get the shot off in time. So it was a dominant, attacking, heavy free throw, necessary 60 points. Is a superstar effort from Tatum.
They've still got a shot to get to number 4 overall, but do they need to be pretty near perfect to do that?
I mean, at this point, they can't afford more than, I'd say, one loss the rest of the way. They've got 7 games left, and they shouldn't even have an outside shot. But 7 games left to make up 3 games is pretty rough. But New York has a West Coast swing where they still have to play on the road, Denver, Phoenix, and both L.A. teams. Then they come home and play Charlotte, San Antonio, and then Boston in the final game. So if the Celtics, they just need to make up 2 games going into that final game, and if they win that final game and they move into a tie, that game would give them the tiebreaker. So that's why the Celtics have at least a sliver of hope of catching the Knicks. Now, what happens to the Hawks? What happens to Miami? The Celtics have a 2-game home series against Miami. Sweep that home series, and now you're in good position there because you put Miami in your rear view and you have that tiebreaker. So all of a sudden, if you pick up the tiebreaker against Miami and New York, it doesn't matter what your final record is, because you'll automatically pick up the 5th seed at that point. Even if Atlanta, you move into a tie with Atlanta, it's possible that 4 teams can end up tied when it's all said and done. And just getting into that spot where they beat Miami twice and beat New York, that gives them 2 tiebreakers that are super, super important. And they really need to avoid this play-in tournament. But they can't go out and screw up and drop a game to the Orlando Magic. They can't go out and screw up and you know, mess around against Chicago. They got to go take care of business.
And maybe have to hope, as you point out, on Boston Sports Journal, that there is no added discipline for Marcus Smart for his incident recently.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be an interesting thing here. I mean, we should be learning. That should come out today or tomorrow. It was an interesting call that was made. I think it's a debatable call. I can see both sides have an argument there. I personally don't think that it was a targeted shot on Yusuf Nurkic's nether region, but they did fine. Okay. If it was, then he could get suspended. If the league says that it was probably accidental, or maybe, you know, doesn't rise to the point of a wind up and follow through, then maybe he gets fined instead of suspended. But you can't be in those positions. So they could lose Marcus Smart, but it's also possible that he escapes any discipline whatsoever.
Check out John's work at Boston Sports Journal. And, of course, listen regularly. Subscribe to the Locked On Celtics podcast and know what's going on, because John's the best source out there. John, thank you as always. We'll visit with you again next Tuesday.
Thanks. I'll talk to you then.
John Corrales on Downtown.